T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, so we nerded out all Saturday night at Joel's house, DSS Joel, because he's got those clip speakers. And I broke open some vinyl that I had, and I took it over to his house, like an Ace Frehley record.
Yeah.
Just a couple, like a Circle Remains Unbroken record, a couple others, and we just nerded the F out.
God, I'm glad you two have each other.
Oh, no, but you don't understand. It was Chad. It was Sassy. It was myself. It was Kim, his wife. It was, and normally Milner would be there too, nerding out with everybody. And then you take turns at a record player, like putting your album on, and then just kind of hanging out with it in the background, but every once in a while stopping and comparing notes. So I told him about my problem with the buying the clip speakers for my house, and then also wanting these monitors that are in this studio, these KRK V8s that I've looked at forever, and they weren't bad to buy. So I was like, I'm going to try them both and just return one set. So it's turned into a never-ending listen to the same song, changing the EQ. One sets of speakers sits on top of that giant table I built out of a bowling alley, and the other set just below it, so it's exact same spacing. And Chad and I sat there for an hour and a half listening to songs, and he couldn't have been more excited.
Thank God. Thank God.
See, I believe you would also get into this because you love music so much. If you had a time to sit by yourself and really listen to it and just take it in, because you're a music nerd.
Yeah, but I take the time and put my headphones on and sit in the bathroom with the door locked.
Well,
that's my time.
Because you have to. I'm saying if you had your own area to listen to music and you wouldn't be bothered.
It's universal. I do it in anyone's bathroom.
Like but you know what I mean.
I think it's just the electronics nerdery part of it that you guys will be like just saying initials and code is what it sounds like.
I'm not kidding you. If you came to my house and I sat you down, you would understand what I'm talking about in 30 seconds. All I'm doing is just turning one set of speakers on and one set of speakers off, and the way it sounds is so different. And we heard music this way. I'm talking about classic Van Halen and old ZZ Top or AC/DC, like, or newer records like the new Metallica record. It sounds completely different on either set, even though I know. But don't you miss, though, like, because you have to, headphones are fun and they're great, but don't you miss walking around your own space with massive music just pounding through, like just all yours, where you can do anything straight up the living room,
I get what
do
you're
your
saying.
Dishes, read a book, do whatever, but your own space where it's just bouncing off every wall. Like that's.
Yeah, I don't have that in my life, not at work or at home.
See, you
so,
need
and
that.
That's why I have my headphones, because then I can't hear anybody bitching about it.
But I'm telling you, like, there's something so fantastic about it. Like,
no, I get it. I've now been morphed into, no, this is how I'm going to do it. But I'm not against having, obviously, who doesn't want their own space with whatever they want playing?
But that, the volume, because hell, man, remember, we all grew up the same thing, like this, super loud, then turn that ass off. Like, one day when I get my own place, I'm going to listen to music as loud as I want.
I thank God, that's one thing we never got yelled at for in our house, because it was a whole family that loved music. That is the one positive.
You kidding me? You had to buy me a Christmas gift to make up for my own childhood. She found the Wasp picture disc, the F Like a Beast. Two of them.
No, it's a three. It's a three picture disc set.
Yes, but the pig is what I had originally, and then I had a Music for Nations gold record that disappeared too. But that was, it was a pig on one side, like a boar, like a with fangs and blood, and the other side you turn over, it's Wasp F Like a Beast. But you know, my dad saw it. He just snapped it.
Super impressed, was he?
He just went, he goes, no. That was it. And there's literally nothing you could say to him about it. You're like, okay, sorry. Sorry, I listened to that. Oh, okay. I got to hide that better. I should hide it when I had the drugs. You know?
Yeah, you should have.
I also had to admit to my friends that I forgot about this. Did I ever tell you? You grew up Catholic. Did you ever have those crosses that you could open up, and there was always the candle for communion.
I know what you're talking about.
And, but they were hollow, and she would just literally slide the crucifix front of it up, and there was, you know, religious stuff. Like, mostly it was a candle in mine.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. We didn't have them.
I used to hide weed in it.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Because
no one would think to look there.
Right? Why would you, if your mom was looking around your room, maybe she was worried about you going through your sock drawers. I know my parents looked through our stuff, right?
Of course.
Why would you look on the wall if you even remembered that that crucifix had a secret compartment? What?
Surely you wouldn't be the kind of heathen that would put anything there next to Jesus.
Hide a cigarette wrapper foil with LSD in it? What? Yeah, I know. One time I had to go back and look. It's still at the house, and I slid it open when nobody was looking just to see if there was anything left.
I would have been shocked if there was.
Oh, I would have been super stoked. I wouldn't even have touched it. I wouldn't even have taken it if it was weed. I'd been, because it's bad by now, but I'd have been like, oh my God, look at that. It's still in there.
I'd have had to have taken a picture. I'm surprised that you had a crucifix in your actual room.
Well, my mom put it. No, you understand.
Well, she probably thought I need to put a crucifix
in
each room.
No, my family was religious. Yeah, but I mean, I know
Jesus
I love
needs to sleep with him, seriously.
I loved my grandma, so she gave it to me, and, you know.
I get it. I guess I just would have never thought that you had that in your own personal
For the
bedroom.
Record, have you not noticed? I have multiple crucifixes in my own house.
Yeah, but I don't look at them. When I see them in your house,
They're not upside down, man.
I know they're not upside down. It's more of a feel of decor than it is how your grandma used to go for the lighting and basically do a prayer for it.
You have a valid point, but it's not like I'm against it.
No,
I used to go to church with my grandma. Even when as I got older, my grandmother would say, would you go to Mass with me? I would always think in my head like, this is going to suck. And then I'd be like, yes, ma'am, I will. And I would go with her. And that was that.
My grandma, of course.
She was a three a week.
Oh, my poor grandma was sideways because she had to get a divorce from her first husband.
I'm sorry, two a week. My grandma, she was a Wednesday, Sunday.
So she still would go to church even though they, you know, looked at her as a sinner.
My grandmother was so in good standing with that, even when she got a divorce, because she was married to my grandfather, and then he passed away. Mm-hmm. Then she married this weird guy. And I think even everybody in her church, she had a pretty great priest in the parish. Like, they knew. Like,
you're like, you don't even need to do the paperwork.
She was lonely. And it wasn't nice, and it didn't work out, and he was kind of abusive, and just emotionally.
Grandma should have gotten this then.
Yeah, and, you know, and then they never gave her any trouble.
Right.
And, dude, I'll tell you what, the total side note, the only funeral I couldn't bring myself to cry, because she believed hard. Like, that was the greatest thing in the world that could happen, was to pass away and go to heaven for your reward. Like, she was in no way, I mean, as deep as it'll ever be. And she walked the walk. So, yeah.
Maybe they're up there
She
now,
probably wouldn't
out.
Have laughed all that hard about me hiding weed in the cross.
I tried to pray for him.
But she would have lived with it. She'd have been like, but that's very clever. She could find everything. I dyed my hair one time. She's like, well, it looks very nice on you.
She was a sweet, sweet woman.
She was. She would listen to music. She turned me on to music. And you know, music, hold on. Are you ready? Hold on. Is that, come here. But, you know, music's been a big part of it, the beginning of this conversation. Is that David?
That's David Coverdale right there.
Fantastic then. Let's get busy with that.
Born September 22nd in Saltburn by the Sea, North Yorkshire, England. He first came to the world's attention during his tenure as lead vocalist for Deep Purple, but hit it big when he struck out on his own with the band, Whitesnake. Became a worldwide sensation with their 1987 self-titled album, gaining legions of new fans with their sexed-up videos. And now the band have released a retrospective walk through the Blues Year songs in their catalog with a new collection, titled, The Blues Album. Please welcome, Whitesnake frontman and rock legend, David Coverdale.
Mr. David Coverdale, how have you been, my friend?
How dare you, Johnny? How are you, my friend?
Better than I deserve. Yeah. Better than I deserve. I'm so happy that you got more music coming out, and that gives me hope to see you live again, man. You've been busy.
Oh, God, live. Don't even get me started. There'll be a box of Kleenex on air. Just hoping, you know, as we've discussed before, 2020 and 2021, they were going to be pretty much my farewell tour, my appreciation and gratitude tour. And really, I look at the circumstances now, and it's still unsafe for me to travel, for my audience. So there's just no chance.
No.
I'm sincerely hoping that next year we'll be able to get out. Who knows? I don't have a crystal ball, but I'm holding it in my heart, you know, while I still can. Happy release day. We got the Blues album out this very day. Brand new video on social media, Whipping Boy Blues.
So, congratulations.
Pretty good. All good in the garden, mate.
Yes, good. Congratulations. 14 songs, remixed, remastered, a bunch of the earlier blues stuff. And, you know, I mean, I look at stuff like Slow and Easy and All Your Love and Crying in the Rain and just stuff I just love so much. Steal Your Heart, Looking for Love. Like, I mean, you know, beautiful music. And it's just comforting.
I mean, it's beautifully remixed and remastered now. It's the same house of Whitesnake. It's just we've had a fresh coat of paint. And rearrange the furniture a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled, Johnny. It's one of the things that I've been a frustrated DJ for since the days of cassettes when he could make playlists. And it was always hard for me with having such a long, fortunately successful career to put my favorite Whitesnake tracks together because they were so of the time, that time capsule of technology at that time. To get a sonic consistency that you will notice as a DJ, some of the older CDs, they don't have the same volume, not necessarily for the sake of volume, but they don't have the same clarity.
That's right.
As current stuff. And those things, I've spoken with my co-producers for years now, that it was a labor of love, an expensive labor of love, to remix. I'm remixing my entire catalog. So everything, a lot of people consider the originals like sacred icons. You know, I don't, but I honor them and remaster them and then give them the revamped version.
Well, listen.
And they've done amazingly well, incredibly well. I'm extraordinarily excited.
They're your songs, and you have always been legend. I remember reading songs about you being so hard on releasing your own music because if it wasn't perfect, if you didn't feel like it was your absolute best, you just wouldn't allow anybody to hear anything. I mean, you've always been your hardest and strongest critic.
Yeah. So it's the circumstances. I'm a Virgo, for God's sake. It's hard. I walk into a hotel room, God, this is beautiful. And then I'll go straight over and straighten a painting now. It's impossible for me.
Not I understand.
I've got to be happy with what I've got to please myself first before I expect other people to be pleased. So, yes, it's always the best I can do at that particular time, without a doubt. And it's been a really emotional ride putting these projects together because, in essence, they're tasting the taster albums, a taste of things to come. With me being this kind of heritage artist or whatever they call now, most of the work I'm doing is box sets, which at this time of the economy, these $50 or $60, I can't explain my hardcore, so I have to go for that. So it's great that we're giving them an idea of what's coming down the line,
sure,
what they can anticipate. You know, and these are the Red, White, and Blues album, taken from six or seven albums. And working with a super remixer, my co-producer and I, Michael McIntyre, discovered this kid called Chris Collier, and he's just brought a beautiful sonic identity. And if you listen to any of the new mixes, it's got that obviously covered over voice. You've got a lot of echo off my voice now. My voice is much more in your face. So people can hear I'm singing Is This Love, not Is This Lunch. Yeah, so that's nice to know.
People that don't know, I mean, your pedigree is of such that it is really, and I'll say it, rock royalty. I mean, to come from Purple to back to Whitesnake to the albums. I remember, you know, hearing, you know, Slow and Easy for the first time. You know, just certain songs have certain memories from your life that you go, my God. And then the size that Whitesnake took it to. And, you know, over the years, I've been lucky enough to become friends with Rudy. And he's a gentleman and a wonderful, sweet man. And
he's a great ambassador for whatever he's doing.
Yes.
He's a super guy. Yeah.
And you've just led this incredible musical charge. And then you and Jimmy Page getting together, which just, I mean, destroyed. I mean, you're talking about two of the greatest players, the greatest voice, the greatest player.
Yeah.
And so complimentary to one another. And every time...
I get a lot of ink for my guitar players, of course, you know. But the circumstance is, don't forget my drummers. Don't forget my keyboard players.
Right.
You know, I've been blessed with an astonishing array of musicians who, each one that's come into the Whitesnake, and hopefully they've come away with something, but my God, everyone's brought something to the party.
Certainly.
And I look back, particularly remixing things and hearing, when we remixed Slide It, and I got to tell you, Johnny, that to hear like studio interaction between some of the musicians we've actually lost now since that time.
Oh, yeah.
And hearing their voices as alive as possible. The jokes, just laughing and breaking up, crying up in takes that didn't work. You know, somebody made a dodgy note or whatever. And it was so heartwarming. And the most important thing people should know, I'm not changing these things to accommodate me. I'm making it so you can hear John Lord's organ much better. The cozy towels, drums clearer. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
People are now astonished when they hear the amazing John Sykes. Joe Elliott from Def Leppard has said in the rock album, and he went, oh, my God, is that a different Sykes solo? I said, no, you can just hear it now. There's no 80s echo on it, you know? And that's the same on the new record, on a track, one of my favorite songs that I wrote with John was called Looking for Love, an absolute epic Whitesnake song. And this guitar playing is just searing. The tone of it, and it you couldn't hear it before because there was so much echo on the reverb on it, you know?
Yeah, I want to be honest with you. Let me tell you before I wrap up, because I've recently started going back and listening to albums. I've nerded out on exactly this subject to the point where I bought a series of clip speakers and to the side of those studio monitors by KRK, because I'll listen to the same song through both sets to decide how I want to put it into my system. And I've developed an entire plast that it's because it's two totally different sounds. I know exactly what you're talking about, because you want to hear all of it.
Well, the interesting thing is I use the same setup. I've got huge clip studio monitors, which actually we rarely use now, interestingly enough. We use the KRKs, and you must remember the Yamaha NS10. But when we brought this new mixer in, he brought in the most recent KRKs, and I thought they were just glorious. And the most important thing in a studio where you can measure, you know, at home, you can make it sound amazing.
Right.
What's it going to sound like on a cheaper rig? On
right.
a not such a good part of the system. You know, so you have to look at all these different values of how the track's going to sound. Well, my first record was burned with Deep Purple 47 years ago, and we used to mix some of the stuff on a single speaker to what it would sound like on a mono speaker.
Sure.
You know, it's quite amazing. There's always been that trying not to let technology take over, but being respectful for what it can offer.
It's very smart.
Those are great speakers you got there. Clips are great for classical and for jazz.
I'm such a weirdo for it because I just... there's such a great, you know, and I know we're going to have to wrap, but, you know, like, John, you know, you look at that Hammond B3 with Lord, you know, the first time I saw Deep Purple play, I heard him open up with Highway Star. I mean, it knocked my dick in the dirt. I mean, it's just incredible.
John, I mean, I encouraged John to go back to Deep Purple. I knew I was looking for a different sound for a while. And after a while, I really missed that, and then John's left hand, you know, the unique sound was very much the identity, the sonic identity of Deep Purple. But I tell you what, I've got a super guy in Whitesnake called Michele Lupi, an Italian guy.
Mm-hmm.
Brings it every time. But before finding McKaylee, I recorded Derek Sherinian. Oh, my God. He's like the son of John Lord, and add some more to that.
I love that.
You know, he's his own man, but he's all over his trilogy.
Oh, listen.
An immense player, and I miss that scorching organ.
I'm telling you, I can't. I'm going to download this the second we get off the phone. It's out now, the blues album, and I cannot wait to go through it all. And David, I wish we had an hour. I know that you've got other interviews, but
bless your heart.
When you take time for me and for us, I can't thank you enough. You are just, you wear your legend well, and you are incredibly important to me.
Thank you, John. Take care. You and your listeners be safe out there. We're still in the woods on this thing. We'll get through.
Indeed. The great, legendary David Coverdale. Is the word vindication?
Okay, one of the greatest rock stars of all time also has the same love for the speakers that you do.
Well, not just the same love, the fact that he has to listen to them on both sets to hear different parts of songs. Now, I know that doesn't make me David Coverdale, but what are the odds of him saying, I also have Klipsch, which are, there's many speakers out there.
Of course.
And, you know, and then the KRKs, which are a million different studio monitors. What are the odds? I feel like he and I are kindred.
I think you are.
We must be special friends.
I think you're doing it right.